Great. So anyone that considers themselves a child or child at heart, do we come and sit on the mat? Great. Wonderful. Now, the way we're going to start this is we're going to have a challenge, everyone. Now, can you tell me who it is on the screen behind me? You see? Yeah. That is Harry Kane. Now, a footballing legend. Now, I thought today we would see if we can make a footballer from our very own church family here. So could I have a volunteer? No? Volunteer? Anyone who'd like to help? Yeah, Daisy. Right, come up here. Come and stand next to me here. Now, what we are going to do, Daisy, is... Oh, we've got a usurper here. We're going to make you into a footballer. Okay? Now, what kind of things would a footballer need? Yeah? Shin pads. Yeah. What other things? Now, you may need a bigger child to help you put the shin pads on. There we go. You'll be all ready. What other things would you need to play football? What would you need? Yep. Football kit. Right, okay. Let's get... I think this is about your size, I think.
One chin pad.
We'll do that. Right, I think that's about your size, Daisy. There we go, ready to play. And of course, you wouldn't be playing football without your ball. Would you like to take that? Thank you very much, Daisy. Now, okay, and what would Daisy need to do if she wanted to get really good? She's got all her kit. Heidi? What would she have to do? She'd have to practice lots, wouldn't she? And then she would be able to make the team. Now, maybe football isn't your thing, but maybe music is your thing. So could I have a volunteer to come up here? Yeah, okay, Heidi. Now, what would Heidi need to be able to get really good at music? Yeah. She would need an instrument. And, oh, it just so happens there is a flute lying around. But of course, okay, she's got her flute. What else would she need? She would need some music and maybe a teacher as well. Say, where's James? James, there we go. You play some music. There we go. It's all right. There is the book and there is the Moana backing track, so you can play along to that. Okay, so we've got our footballer. We've got a musician, and of course, again, with lots and lots of practice, Heidi would be able to get good at music. Now, we've got a different challenge. We've thought about how to be a good musician, we've thought about how to be a good footballer, but what about the next challenge of simply asking for dinner? What would we have to do? How do you get dinner? Where does it come from? You just ask, don't you? It doesn't really... It just sort of magically comes out of nowhere, doesn't it? In fact, why don't we try it now? So why don't we try asking? So after three, we'll all say, please may I have some dinner, and we'll just see what happens, okay? So one, two, three, please may I have some dinner. Oh, look, it just so happens that Chris is coming up with a meal of biscuits. Oh, wow. Isn't that amazing? Well, thank you very much. Today, this is your lucky day, children.
Wow.
Now, that is, it's very nice, isn't it? Unlike when you want to be really good at something, with dinner, you just sort of ask for it, and there it is. Now, here's the bit I want you to think about. What about this challenge? How do we become accepted by God? How can we make sure that God... How can we be sure that God loves us? What do you think? How can we be sure that God loves us? How can we be accepted by God? What do we think? That's just only the sound of contented munching. Well, when it comes to being accepted by God, sometimes people think it's like playing the flute or like playing football. You do lots of practice and eventually you'll get good enough and God will accept us. And that's how many people think. It's how a lot of grown-ups think. But the Apostle Paul, who wrote our reading, used to think like that. And he came to see that actually it's a lot more like dinner, like that relationship with God and knowing Jesus. You see, he was, when it came to being good, Paul was just like, you know, the Harry Canes of this world, absolutely brilliant at what he did. And yet he realized that it wasn't enough. So if we could have the reading, the first part of the reading on the screen. This is what he said. This is what he came to realize. He said, and now I know that all those things, all those achievements that he had of being religious are worthless rubbish. This allows me to have Christ. He thought it was all about being really good. And actually, he realized that his achievements were like this. Were just rubbish. It's all recycled, by the way. So you don't have to... Oh no, you're all right with that. Good. It is all rubbish. But what if there was a better way? What if there was a way that we could be sure that God loves us? And that is what Paul discovered. And we're going to read the next bit of the verse. And I wonder if you could tell me, have a look at the verse and tell me what is really great. What is really great? But I think that all things are worth nothing compared with the greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Okay, did you spot what was great? Did you spot what was great? That's who read it? What do we think? Yep. Yeah, knowing Jesus is great. That is the great thing that we can have. Jesus. We can know Jesus. Guys, do take a seat. Thank you very much. That was really great. Yeah, maybe pop the flute and the ball back there. Knowing Jesus. Now, to help us think what it's like to know Jesus, I wonder, those of us here who are just sort of starting school after a long term, do you see more of your teacher or your head teacher? Who do you see more of? Those of you at school? Someone else? Who do you see more of? Your teacher. Yeah, because sometimes that it is. When someone's like more in charge, it's harder to see them because they're just so busy. Whereas actually Jesus offers us to know him now, today, completely, full access for everyone. Let me give you another reason why knowing Jesus is so great. I need another volunteer. Oh, thank you. Is that a hand up? That was. Thank you, Oscar. Very good for volunteering. Come up. Now, I don't know if you realise this, but actually, Oscar's got a little secret. He is the Crouch End champion for jumping. And the Crouch End Council decided to give him this trophy for all his many years of achievement. And there's a whole world of opportunities open to you. You'll have all these like friends more than everyone else. You'll be able to get invited to opening schools and hospitals and maybe even a visit to the Queen as well. But actually, you've decided that you're going to give your title to someone else, that someone else should share in the glories of all your achievements for being good at jumping. Now, is there anyone that you'd like here, perhaps someone who hasn't jumped as much, to give them your title?
Alex.
You'd like to give it to Alex? Do give it to Alex. Thank you very much. Now, Alex, you don't quite have as much experience in jumping as Oscar, but you have won the prize, and that means you can share in all the benefits of Oscar's achievements for jumping. Thank you. Do take a seat there. Now, following Jesus is a bit like that. You see, Jesus is the one who obeyed God perfectly, who never did anything wrong, And we are the ones who haven't done well and who have failed God. And even though we try our best, sometimes we don't try our best. But the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus is that we can have his track record, his prize, given to us. So we can be like Alex, who very happily receive the prize and get all the benefits. So let's have a look at the next verse, next part of our verse. This is what it says. Now that I belong to Christ, I am right with God. And this being right does not come from my following the law. It comes from God through faith. God uses my faith in Christ to make me right with him. Okay, so this is why knowing Jesus is great. That is the big thing I want us all to come away with, that knowing Jesus is really great. Now, what will that mean for us here? I thought we'd have a challenge. Say, can everyone, we're going to have to get ready for this, but when I count to three, should we all clap at the same time? It's all right, I'll count us in. Grown-ups, you can do this as well and join in. So, okay, everyone ready? One, two, three. There we go. Now, normally, most people count on two with me. But it's amazing, isn't it, how powerful examples can be. You say, count on three, and people often follow your example rather than what I say. Perhaps grown-ups, you'll know the saying, do as I say, not as I do. But in fact, it's actually a very ridiculous thing, because often our examples are such powerful things. And the reason why Paul wrote these verses that we thought about, that knowing Jesus is so great, is because he wanted us to follow his example. So let's have a look at the next part, another verse later on in the same chapter. Can we get the next verse? Okay, I'll read it. So Paul says, all of you should try to follow my example and to copy those who live the way we showed you. You should all try to follow my example and copy those who live the way we showed you. Paul, who talks about knowing Jesus as being really great, wants us all to follow his example and to look around to be following the people who walk along to that example. So for us here, the big people that will be watching will be our family, our Christian family, our people in our church family as well. Adults and grown-ups at the back here. That means that all of these guys here, their main idea of what following Jesus looks like will be from the rest of us here and in the church family, and particularly parents and godparents. So as we're looking to people's example, we're watching the people in our lives who follow Jesus. We're watching them to see as they pray, as they talk to God and know Jesus through that, as they hear from Jesus, as they read the Bible, we're watching them and we're imitating and we're copying them. So time's almost up. The big thing to know is that knowing Jesus is really great. Because it's through knowing Jesus that we can be accepted by God. Why don't I say a quick prayer and then we'll go back to our seats. Dear Father, thank you that we can know Jesus. And that because Jesus offers us the invitation to know him, we can be accepted by God. Amen. Great. Everyone, do take a seat. Thank you very much. Well, we're going to continue thinking about that verse. And I believe there are sheets around if children want them. Is that correct, James? Great. There are sheets around and sheets over there if some of the younger ones would like to use them. So do open your Bibles and turn to page 1181. page 1181. And we'll be thinking about Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. What is more? What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So as we got to the end of our all-age part, I wonder how you felt by the idea of following Paul's example. Sometimes it all does sound very good, but actually, is it really doable? It can be hard sometimes. We want to model a life like the Apostle Paul did, and we make resolutions, and yet we fail. We want to model a life focused on Jesus to our children and other church family members, but wonder whether on the inside we're just as materialistic as the rest of London. Sometimes role models can be really helpful, but sometimes they can be really crushing. However, in our passage in Philippians, the Apostle Paul not only offers a right way of thinking and a right way of thinking for us to follow, but also the means by which we can have that mindset as well. So if you turn back with me to page 1180, you see the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed. So chapter 1, verse 9. This is the prayer that he prayed for his congregation who were reading the letter, the original readers. He says, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." So we see the things he's praying for. Knowledge, love, discernment. In other words, he's praying for a mindset change. And so as we see what the way the Apostle Paul viewed Jesus, we do that prayerfully and knowing that God's word will change our mindset so that we have that same thinking that Paul had and wanted us to follow. So we need God's help. So before we start, let me lead us in a prayer. Dear Father, we realise that we can't value Jesus without your help. So we ask you, as we read your word, you would transform our minds to give us that deep change that we want so that we will follow Jesus. Amen. So do flick back over to verse 8. We're going to, on 1180, we're going to think about it under two headings. Paul talks about it both positively and negatively. Firstly, law-keeping is loss. Law-keeping is loss. So a few years ago, I turned up at the GP, and at the point where the GP was just going through my records to see what I'd whether I'd visited there recently, she noticed that actually I'd missed one of my childhood vaccinations 9 years ago, and that I needed to have it. This verse here is in many ways a spiritual vaccination. It's written for people who are following Jesus, and yet Paul knew there was going to be something that might take them away from Jesus. And actually, it's a vaccination that I don't think I would have expected to see. It's a vaccination against boasting in the law. So Paul says in verse 8, "I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them Garbage. What are the things that Paul is calling garbage? It's the things that he used to follow and the things that he used to do with respect to the Old Testament law. So keeping all those his external religious achievements. So we can see, you've probably may have heard this verse before about Paul's own pedigree, that he was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, with regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. And he was completely top of the class, and yet he now sees these things as a loss. Now, if I was writing this, I think I would have said something like, well, circumcision, that's a good thing because actually God commanded it, so I wouldn't want to rubbish it. Just don't, if you've been circumcised and you've got these religious credentials, don't rely too much on them, rely on Jesus. But he really goes for it. He says, these things are rubbish, loss. The thing is with the law is it was quite external. So people could see whether you were keeping them. And so Paul was worried that as people would do that, they would stop boasting in the Lord Jesus and actually start boasting in their own achievements of the law. Law boasting is dangerous because it makes us boast in ourselves when we should boast in Jesus. Now for us here, going into a new term, it might not be that we're rushing to join the tribe of Benjamin. However, it would be very easy this term to focus on the externals, to be doing all the right things and yet very hollow. So just focusing and going through the motions. What some people I've heard have called churchianity. So I will go to church, I will go to my small group, I will pray, but I won't be worried if I'm not engaging because I'm doing all the right things on the outside. And it's very easy to think like that. And it's something that takes us away from the Lord Jesus. I remember leading a Bible study group, and sometimes I would meet up with some of the guys and I just asked them how they were getting on. And I think as I reflect back, actually I was more concerned with asking them how many times they went to church rather than how are you with the Lord Jesus? Law keeping is loss. So what is the better way of thinking? Our second heading, knowing Jesus is gain. So have a look at how Paul puts it again in verse 8. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is the better way, knowing Jesus, because knowing Jesus is gain. It's an absolute privilege. So we thought with the children about how hard it is sometimes to get hold of people when they're quite senior. So I'm going to be starting in theological college again, and our principal is meeting with everyone in the college. And I think about the time that he'll get round to me will be in January in the new year. But with Jesus, it's completely different. We can know him now. It's all completely open access. And there's another reason why knowing Jesus is gain. We thought about how it's that God accepts us. In fact, it's only through knowing the Lord Jesus that we can be accepted. The way when we know Jesus, Jesus treats us as if we'd lived a perfect life. And therefore we're completely accepted by God. In Paul's language in the passage, verse 9, is having that righteousness by faith. And what Christians in the past have called justification by faith alone. Now, last month was exam results season. And this year will, of course, be another repeat of that cycle of SATs and 11 pluses and GCSEs. And it's one thing to know, well, it's one thing to be accepted into accepted into next year or the next school or course. However, it's so much higher, isn't it, to have been accepted and then to know you're accepted. And that is the thing that Jesus gives us. As we know him, We're not just accepted. We can be sure of it now. And we don't have to be anxious about whether God loves us now. Knowing the Lord Jesus is gain now, and it always will be. So you think, knowing Jesus is one of those things, that is one of those only things that carries forward beyond the end of our lives into the new creation. So all those things which are really important for us now, they're going to one day fade. But knowing Jesus, that will carry on, and we will still know him, and we'll know him in an even more amazing way when he comes to put things right in the new creation. So for us, as we stand at the beginning of September, sort of looking out, for many of us a new term, for many of us a whole new year at the moment, we're probably conscious of lots of things that we need to be getting on with, and lots of things that are really important to crack on with. So we might say to ourselves, well, if I work hard this year at work, I might get a promotion, or I might keep my job. We might say to ourselves, if we can get our family organised this term, then we'll have a great, great term as a family. Perhaps we'll say to ourselves, if I lose weight this term, then I will be glad in years to come. But all good things, but nothing quite compares to knowing the Lord Jesus now. Knowing Jesus is gain. So when we're in those situations, when we're feeling crushed in the week, and we really just don't feel we've got time to spend with Jesus and his word, let's remind ourselves, knowing Jesus is gain. And when we're tired on Sunday, and there's just been so many things going on through the week, and we just quite happily just sort of kick back in the pew and sort of let the autopilot run, and it tells us to stand up and sit down at the right time, let's remind ourselves, knowing Jesus is gain. And as we're sort of mapping up our children's diaries, and it looks like they spend half of their time at school, the other half of their day with their friends, the other half of their day playing Minecraft, and we're sort of working out, well, what would we... That was a joke, supposed to be a joke, by the way. When we're trying to work out, what would I love them to be doing? Knowing Jesus is gain. So, as we close, I pray this won't just be a try harder sermon. It's not a try harder passage. But we pray that as God works through his word, and as we listen prayerfully, we ask God that he would change our mindsets deeply, and so that we would realize in a really deep and significant way that knowing Jesus is gain. Let me pray, and then we will continue in prayer. Loving Father, as we begin this new term, please help us to realise that knowing Jesus is gain. Help us to realise that he's so much more valuable than anything else, even the great things in our lives. Please protect us from being satisfied with just going through the motions. But we pray as we come together, as we spend time in your word, as we pray, it would be deep times with the Lord Jesus. And you'd be growing those times as well. Amen.